Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms to Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms of preteens, teens, and young adults. My mission is to first and foremost support and encourage you, mom, so that you can live well and reclaim your life. Two, the show will help you have the best possible relationships with your teens so that you can communicate, motivate, and guide them effectively and actually enjoy them. And third, I will bring you top-notch guests who will share the newest in adolescent research and trends so you can be prepared and aware of what your teens are facing today. Always, you will leave each episode armed with practical parenting tips. Welcome back, everyone, to the 262nd episode of Power Your Parenting Moms to Teens podcast. I'm Colleen O'Grady, the host of the show. Does your teen say things like, I can't do chemistry, I'll never have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I'm not good at soccer? I once had a teen tell me who loved to sing, I'm going to quit singing because I can't sing like Taylor Swift. Or things like, I'll never fit in, nothing works out for me. These type of statements can drive moms crazy because we see how these thoughts actually stop our teens from having what they really want. And these are called self-limiting beliefs. Why? Because these beliefs about ourselves, or you could call this a mindset, influences what we think about ourselves, which impacts our emotions and our actions. Bottom line is these thoughts limit us. But moms, if we're honest, we have self-limiting beliefs too. And I know I do. Often we aren't even aware of what they are. These beliefs, our mindset, impact our happiness and well-being. Our teens are impacted also by our mindset and our self-limiting beliefs. We have such a powerful, sincere, and authentic, inspiring, and vulnerable guest today. So buckle up and enjoy the ride. Sean is a universal mindset disruptor. And you'll find out what that is. With 20 plus years of experience, former business coach, now a transformative mindset mentor, Sean focuses on revolutionizing thinking patterns to foster freedom, abundance, joy, and love in life. His mission? Help individuals transform unproductive habits and shift mindsets to achieve their dreams, epitomized by his motto, Enjoy the Ride. Specializing in inner blueprint, leadership development, and more, Sean offers tailored solutions for financial growth, relationship enhancement, and overall wellness across the U.S. and Canada. At the heart of his philosophy, change begins within, guided by the principle, tell me what you want, and I'll show you how to get it. Sean stands as a partner in growth, ushering in a life of limitless possibilities. All right. So welcome, Sean.
Yeah, thank you, Colleen. I'm so honored and excited to be here with you today.
Oh, I know. The moms, you have a treat today. So, all right. So a universal mindset disruptor, what in the heck is that?
So that is my title. And it's really funny because I worked with a marketing guy a couple of years ago, and he kind of helps people specialize in their niche. And as we were talking about what I do and how I do it, he said, you know, let's do this exercise. And out of the exercise, we came up with the title, Universal Mindset Disruptor. You know, I'm a mindset coach. I help people think different thoughts to get better results. And he's like, you disrupt thoughts. And I'm like, okay. And honestly, Colleen, when I first heard it, I'm like, yeah, that sounds a little cheesy, right? The universal mindset disruptor. Who's that guy? But I do, you know, and we're going to be having a discussion today about helping moms, teens, human beings get better beliefs about themselves. And I use powerful I am statements. So I made myself a statement. I am the universal mindset disruptor. And I started saying it every single day with my other affirmations. And it was interesting. I got invited to speak at a home improvement industry event, which is the space I spend a lot of time in. And I've known the owner of the organization for years, and he's known me. And let's just say he didn't believe I was that yet. And so I'll never forget, I sent my new bio that has that title. He literally called me up. He's like, Sean, I'm reading your bio. And he started laughing. Because if I introduce you on stage as the universal mindset disruptor, I'm going to laugh. And I said, you know what, man? I said, I think that's a good idea. He said, what do you mean? I said, I want you to get up there and introduce me as the Universal Mindset Disruptor. Start chuckling. And as I walk up on stage, that'll be a perfect intro. I'll say, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Would you like to know why he's laughing and I'm not? Because he doesn't believe I disrupt thoughts and I do. And let's talk about your mind. And I go into it and he didn't invite me back. I think I intimidated him.
Oh my gosh, that's
But
awesome.
yeah, my work every day is working with individuals on, one, reaching for more, like deciding what they really want, kind of helping them find their purpose. And then as we do that, anytime we reach, we start to tell ourselves the reasons we can't have it. Whether you're a mom, a dad, I work with both. We all have these self-limiting beliefs that keep us stuck. And the more we dive into them, we become better parents. And then more importantly, we can help our kids step into their power and not impress our self-limiting beliefs onto them. And I know, I have four adult children. I've got two bonus daughters that are teenagers. My adult kids, I wish I would have had the information back when they were younger that I have today. They are so smart, so beautiful, so amazing. And they don't always see it. Because I didn't always see it myself. And so, yeah, that's a big part of my work and why I love podcasts like yours. I love sharing my message, especially with our young adults and our youth, because we live in a world where they get bombarded on the outside by negative messaging. They watch social media and TV that's full of Photoshop, not reality. And then they look in the mirror and say, I'm not that. And then that creates I'm not enough, which is the number one self-limiting belief. We can dive into that later, but I deal with myself and almost everybody that were held back by not being enough.
So for the moms who are listening, because my audience is moms. What do you mean by self-limiting beliefs? I don't understand what you're talking about.
Another word for it is negative self-talk. The stay-at-home mom who's wanting to get out and do something different or find some purpose while the kids are schooling. We say, oh, you can go volunteer. Oh, I could never do that. Why? Oh, I'm not smart enough, or I'm not outgoing enough. Or all the reasons that we tell ourselves we can't do that which we want to do. Sometimes we think we're too tall. Sometimes we think we're too short. Sometimes we think we're too skinny or too heavy or whatever it is. So when I say self-limiting beliefs, it's just some of the things we tell ourselves that aren't true. That's why they're called limiting. They're not really self-limiting. I mean, that's the term for the personal development industry. They limit yourself, but they didn't come from yourself. And we can take a deeper dive. Every self-limiting belief I had about myself came from the outside. And a lot of it came from my mom. Beautiful, amazing human being that loved and cared about me very much. But because she was sometimes hypercritical of herself, she was sometimes hypercritical of me. When I was little and my dad left me when I was two, came back up when I was six, and she had a lot of anger. And parts of me reminded me of him and his family. So I have his family years. I wear hats almost every day to cover my bald head. But when I was in high school, I didn't play baseball because I didn't like my ears in a baseball hat. And that self-limiting belief came from my mom, just talking about something that bothered her. But because it bothered her, it got impressed upon me.
I love that because I think a lot of times as moms, sometimes we think of parenting as an engineering project, that we're kind of trying to create the perfect human being. And we act like we're not factored into that. So I always talk about how basically, who we are and what we model has a greater impact than anything else.
Well, and I've done a lot of work. I mentored directly under Bob Proctor for quite a while. And Bob had this premise. We're trying to raise perfect children, but your spiritual DNA, and if you think of the joy, and I am a father, I've watched a set of twins and two boys be born. And when I held them in my arms for the first time, their spiritual DNA is perfect. I had the perfect child from day one. They had all the mental faculties that God gives us to create a beautiful life. And then I tried to make them better. And as I did, I instilled fear, anxiety, lack of self-confidence as I told them what not to do. And I put these guardrails as parents, both mothers and fathers, the very thing we're trying to do, we're actually doing the opposite sometimes. And that's why I've taken such a deep dive on this work. And I'm so passionate about it. I help people find two things, purpose in life and remove self-limiting beliefs.
Like my mom had a lot of anxiety and with her own history, and I just definitely inherited anxiety. So did my sister. And I really thought since I was a therapist, I could hide that from my daughter. No one can call you out more than your kids about things like anxiety. It's humbling to hear like impacted my own daughter because of my anxiety. If parents are feeling that kind of regret, is there any hope?
Well, there is. And we can get into it because I'm not a mom. I'm a dad. But I had a very beautiful, amazing mother who, through life circumstance, ended up leaving us really early with early onset Alzheimer's. Her mom was a beautiful woman. They both had severe anxiety and they both lacked a lot of self-love and confidence. And because of that, me and my three siblings all ended up with anxiety. And again, I kind of want to share a concept with you if you're open to it. I mean, I'm not a therapist. I don't ever claim to be. I do a lot of work with the subconscious mind, but I've come up with just an analogy. because I didn't come to this realization until my four kids were late teenagers, but I noticed they were developing anxiety. And I don't think it's genetic. I think it's more of a mindset thing. And it's also got a really negative connotation. And so whenever I do mindset work, I'm always saying, let's reframe this so it feels better, so we can handle it better. So this is the analogy I came up with. And I love your input as a therapist, like, Sean, that's way out base, or no, this makes some sense. But for me, I mean, the short story is I think anxiety is a feeling we get when we're letting something outside of us take our power. Mm. We get anxious when we're trying to control something or deal with a situation. And the analogy I use, and I've suffered from severe anxiety. I've never actually fully been medicated because somewhere my intuition and my mom's Alzheimer's, some of it was from a lot of anxiety medication. She ended up having problems with her brain due to chemicals. But I envision a jet engine. And a jet engine, when it winds up, it has so much power in it and it's getting ready to move this huge aircraft down a runway. And what if, right as it was ready to take off and the power was going to come out of it to start moving it, we put a cap on it and we tried to keep it inside. When I have my anxiety come up, it sometimes feels like I have a jet engine inside of my body. And so I've reframed it, and I've used this tool with my twin daughters. When you're feeling anxiety, it's your power, your jet engine trying to get out. And so let's look at some things we can do to get it out of us. And sometimes it's a situation we need to have a conversation. Sometimes it's a job that's not serving us and we need to quit and do something else. And sometimes it's just our physically body needs to move. And my body's going to produce adrenaline and cortisol, and I'm going to get it out of me as I fight the tiger, or I'm going to run from it. And as I'm running from it, I'm still going to get those stress hormones out of my body. Now, for a young teenage girl who gets a text from one of her friends that says something really mean, that can be more threatening to her than a tiger chasing her. But then what does she do? She doesn't move. She sits down and she hunches her shoulders and she lets her body release all these stress hormones and she holds them in her. And so, you know, for me, sometimes when I have anxiety, I just got to get outside and go for a walk and actually move my body and get the hormones and say, wow, that text felt like a tiger attacking me. I need to fight or flight. I'm going to go flight and run around for a little bit. And so for me, I've used that. And I do have a lot of clients in my women's group that have got off anxiety medication. And I, depending on how deep you want to go my story, in 2014, I hit rock bottom financially, health and wellness, and in relationships. And I went to a doctor who had prescribed me a couple things for indigestion and heartburn, which I later figured out were caused by stress, but he wanted me on a few antidepressants. And because of my mom's issues, I just wasn't open to the idea. I said, no, I think I want to try and figure this out in a more natural, and nothing against medication. I mean, there is a purpose for all medication, right?
Right.
I think if you study it, you know, original anxiety medication was when a stressful situation came to help you bridge the gap until you got to the other side of it. And in the last decade or two, they're just putting you on it for good. And that's not the original intent. And so for me, it's like, no, let's look at, you know, if I'm in a bad relationship, and especially for our daughters, like my bonus daughters, if they get in a stressful relationship with a man and it's causing them anxiety, they've given their power to that man and they need to take it back. And if they take it back and get in a safe, the anxiety will subside. So yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to rabbit hole so much, but anxiety is such a huge thing. And I think we live in a world that it's talked about. I mean, when I was little, four-year-olds didn't have anxiety. Yeah. Four-year-olds have anxiety today. Yeah. Two reasons. We live in a much more stressful world. I mean, four-year-olds have iPads now and have other stresses. And then also, it's just a term that gets used a lot. But when I hear anxiety, I try and reframe it. That's good. That's your body telling you you need to do something different. And if you do something different, you can at least alleviate some of the symptoms of the anxiety.
So I have a question. Your jet engine metaphor, is that really our power, like our personal power that's just has nowhere to go?
For me, I feel like it is. Yes.
Yeah.
And in a situation, you know, like the text, when I get a text and I get so upset that my body literally gets ready to fight a tiger, mm-hmm. If I evaluate it, the next time I get that text, maybe I don't let that happen because I let that text take my power. And so then my body's trying to respond to it to get more powerful to deal with it. And there's nothing to fight. It was a text message. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. And then in every moment, I can decide. And this is where I really apply Jack Canfield's E plus R equals O. You know, when I learn to respond instead of react, I lower my anxiety. When something that could be perceived as bad happens to me, and instead of reacting and raising all my stress levels, I pause, step back, and respond, I'm in charge. When I'm in charge, I'm in my power. When I'm reacting and give my power to the situation, I'm not in charge. So, yeah. And it's something to play with too, right? It's not science. It's my analogy for understanding what's going on inside
me.
No, but
I think it's a great metaphor for it, for sure. So moms will probably be listening to this message and be thinking about their kids often first. And what can they do? What can they do if they see that their child has some sort of self-limiting belief that's holding them back in school, academics, sports, any relationships?
The first thing I'm going to do is, moms, you're listening to this and you want to help your kids. Every mom I've ever worked with, they always want to help their kids first. And I use two analogies for this, because before you can help your kids, you got to help you. And, you know, the airplane analogy is now overused, and people sometimes say it without even thinking about it. But if I'm in an airplane that loses oxygen, and I have six kids now, and all six of my kids are on the plane, and I start trying to put oxygen on all six kids, by the time it gets to me, there might not be any oxygen left. And now the whole thing that I was trying to do, protect my kids, I'm my kids' biggest protector. And as a dad, physically, I'm their strongest protector because I'm physically bigger than their mom, right? And if I just died putting oxygen on them, I just counterintuitively did the opposite. So the first thing I always give any woman I work with and any man, it feels selfish to say you're going to put yourself first, right? And yeah, without going into all the details, when I was 41 years old, after 20 years of marriage, after 20 years as a business partner with my dad, and I basically ended up losing and walking away from everything, it's because I had nothing left. I sometimes use the analogy of the giving tree. I was a stump of a man, and I'd put in everyone else first to the point of it being a fault. And so my first thing is, when you're looking at your beautiful teenage daughter and you want her to have self-love and you want her to have confidence and you want her to have abundance and you want her to follow her purpose, you can't help her create that for herself if you haven't done the same. I mean, that's why so many women, and even men in relationships, it's like, I'm going to stay in this bad relationship for my kids. But as they see you giving your power away, that's teaching them to do the same thing. So the first thing you have to do to be a really good parent is look inside and say, okay, how am I showing up not in my power that I'm impressing upon my kids? You know, I actually am recently remarried. This is my final marriage. I'm committed to go the distance until I am a happy, healthy 100 years old and maybe leave this planet. But my wife, Caitlin, she was in a 14-year toxic relationship with a lot of verbal, some physical abuse. And she has a 15-year-old and 12-year-old now. They were 12 and 8 when I met them. One of the first conversations that I had with my now 15-year-old bonus daughter was how proud she was of her mom for choosing her and how amazing it was to see her mom in her power. And so if she would have stayed in this not supportive relationship trying to raise two powerful girls, they would have ended up with some similar things. And when we look at generationally, going back to our moms, our grandmas, I mean, a lot of the things that we do are from them. And, you know, for me, my mom had anxiety and lack of self-love. I will not pass anxiety and lack of self-love. The buck stops with me. And with Caitlin and her girls, we're fixing generational trauma. And even in scarcity, you know, there's families, poverty is inherited. And it's not the physical poverty, it's the mindset of poverty. And so if I grew up in a tough environment and I get to success, my goal, and I've got four 20-somethings, and this is a tough world for 20-somethings. I don't care what anybody says. I'm firsthand trying to coach and love them through this. And they live in a world that a college degree doesn't mean what it used to, that good paying jobs are hard to find, that lots of people are having to start their own businesses to even support themselves. And I want them to be abundant. And they grew up fairly abundantly. I did pretty good for a while, but I just want to make sure that I'm doing what I can for me. And again, if I shine my light bright on myself, then I can shine my light on them. So yeah, before you work on your kids, the most important thing you can do, another analogy, and this is my wife Caitlin's. She said, I was spending my time trying to fill my daughter's buckets from a half empty bucket. And I can't fill anybody's bucket until mine's full. So her and I both spend daily work together. We have a gratitude practice we do together every single morning. I actually continue that with my girls as I drive them to school. I listen to a 5-minute gratitude meditation. I ask them what they're grateful for. As we work on ourselves, now I can overflow. When my bucket's full of love, I don't, like, as a young dad, my favorite thing was coming home from a long day work with my four kiddos doing the daddy dance, just circling around me doing the daddy dance. And I didn't have the insight now or then that I have now. And I was looking for them to fill my hole. Like, here I am working hard and I wanted some validation. And it's not too late, but it's later than I would like to. I show up to my relationship with them so full of love that when they're rude to me, if they're offensive to me, it doesn't affect me because I'm so full of love that I'm just there to love them. And that's another thing. If the younger our kids are and we realize this, don't use your kids to fill your bucket. Fill your bucket. Put yourself first. Create 30 minutes, an hour a day for you to exercise, to meditate, to love yourself, to journal. And then you can go into the work day or mom day, whatever that looks like for you, so powerful that you're able to love and support your children without needing anything back from them.
Yes, I completely agree. And I love that metaphor. I mean, I don't love it, but it's descriptive in terms, you said stump of a man. I think a lot of, in terms of that giving tree metaphor, I think that's what a lot of moms, we feel like. We feel like a stump of a woman. I saw a Facebook post that said all mothered out, and there were like hundreds and hundreds of comments. You know, and so in my book, Dial Down the Drama, I wrote a lot about that. And I call them powerless parenting messages, which is, it's selfish to pay attention to me because we get these cultural messages that are not helpful at all. I completely agree with you. It's so crucial to pay attention to ourselves, or we are a stump of a woman. And when we are a stump of a woman, that is my book, Dial Down the Drama. That's where the drama is, because we have, oh gosh, heard it a billion times, you know, of just feeling that sense of not being appreciated, not being respected, because we feel like a stump of a woman.
Well, if you think about that, we're looking for outside appreciation, outside love. And if we're not appreciating, you know, if I'm appreciating and love myself, I'm not going to cut my limbs off. I'll give some apples, but I'm going to keep some for my, it's the whole counterintuitive thing. Yeah. I wish there was a guide for this when we were younger. I do. And I've had people tell me, well, Sean, there is the Bible or this religious book. Yes, but it doesn't outline it in the way that all of us can understand at an easy level. And we spend so much of our time, you know, trying to take care of everybody else. I just had a call, and I'll protect confidentiality, but I just had a call for a construction company with their bookkeeper. And she's a single mom. She has three kids. And we started talking about it, and she doesn't get a break. I said, how do you create time for you? And she said, I don't. I said, well, lock yourself in the bathroom and go take a bath and do some affirmations. They knock the door down, right? And then she said, even when they go with their dad, like, you're blocking the relationship with their dad if they can always reach out to you. It's not selfish to say, hey, kiddo, you're with your dad this weekend. Please talk to him. And if he doesn't, if it's a problem, reach out to me. Well, it's simple. This is the interesting part about it, Colleen. So then we started talking about her office. And a stump of a woman is someone who takes care of everybody else first. And this person didn't have the perfect behavioral profile for a bookkeeper, and she had some concentration issues. She said something about she had to close the door, but she never does that. And I said, well, what do you do to concentrate? She goes, oh, I play music. I said, why don't you close the door? Oh, well, somebody else might need me. And this people pleaser, right? And so many, and it's men and women, but we're people pleasers to a fault. I said, I know your owner. I work with him once a week. If you say, I'm going to be more active as a bookkeeper if I close my door for 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day, can I do that? He's going to say, please do that, right? But she's so concerned that somebody might need her or help her, or need her help. It's just crazy. And you know what I think? And again, I always just propose analogies and things that I've experienced from my learning. But every single one of us, we talk about self-limiting belief. And I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of individuals, men and women, you know, sales professionals, business owners, stay-at-home moms, even some teenagers. If we took all mine and your self-limiting beliefs and we wrote them down on a piece of paper and we threw them on the wall, there's one that we have in common. And there's one that every human has in common. Am I enough? And if you think about, for me as a dad, I just want to be enough. And so I look for validation for my kids. I look for validation from a big house, a nice job. There's not enough enoughness on the outside to fill that hole. So if we're trying to get to where we can close the door when we need to, when we put up a boundary for our teenage daughter and say, this is my quiet time, or be a tough parent when we need to, without worrying that they're not going to like us and we're not going to be enough for them. Working on your own enoughness. And I do three affirmations, and I recommend anybody and everybody who hears this to adopt these three, at least for a little while. I am enough. I am always enough. I have always been enough. And to me, that helps with my enoughness. That helps me show up differently, not looking for as much. And again, it's really easy to say now at 50 years old. When I was 25, I had no clue. I just wanted to be a good dad, and I just wanted to hear I was a good dad. And I didn't know why I wanted that so bad, because I wanted to be enough.
So if some mom is listening to this and they're not completely resonating with the I am enough thing yet, I think another way to say that is, do you feel that you lack something as a mom? Do you feel like you don't have what it takes in any area of your life? Like, you're just lacking love, you're lacking joy, you're lacking
support.
Satisfaction. Yeah, support. So yeah, can you riff a little bit more about the enoughness so that moms go, oh, that, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I'll try to use, so my wife, Caitlin, doesn't really know her birth mom. Her birth mom was addicted to drugs. She was taken from her as a very small child. She bounced around from aunts, was raised by aunts. She was raised by a bonus mom. And she never realized she had a mom. And so she's got these two beautiful daughters. She's told me multiple times when we first started dating, she doesn't say it anymore because she's worked on, I'll say, her enoughness. Sean, I don't know how to be a mom. I lack in parenting skills because I didn't have a mom. And how can I be something that I never had? And so she did. She had this huge lack, like, I don't know how to be a mom. And you know what? She's one of the best moms I've ever seen. Like, she's so good at being a mom. And so if you're not resonating with the enoughness, then think of what, like, Caitlin's negative thought, her self-limiting thought was, I'm not a good mom. So I use the law of polarity, find the opposite and affirm that. So she says, I am an amazing mom. And me as her supportive partner and spouse, I know that's one of her lacking thoughts. And so every opportunity I get, I affirm her. Like, you are a good mom, Caitlin. Oh my gosh, the way you handled that with the girls, I don't know how you did that. I was ready to slap the shit out of her. I was like, stop talking back to your mom. Stop being so rude. Like, you know, and I don't believe, I don't slap my kids. I never have, but I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like, and she just handles it. And it's so interesting too, because like a couple of her good girlfriends that are single moms, they call her for parenting advice now. And as soon as she started leaning in that she is a good mom, now she is a good mom. And she always was. She just didn't see herself that way. So she showed up a little bit differently. And it's been so beautiful and empowering to watch her just show up as, I'm a good mom and I'm raising two amazing, powerful women. And they are. I mean, they're both competitive athletes. She's a cheer coach that's helped them, you know, physical, being able to tumble and do things that their bodies didn't want to do, to handling now our 15-year-old starting to, not starting to, that girl is boy crazy. We're having to navigate like the boys. And I mean, the other night, and I'll just share what I'm talking about. We got done with the cheer comp, which is an all-day thing. We're all exhausted. We're sitting at the kitchen table. And Hallie, my 15-year-old, is sitting at the table with tears kind of running down her face, texting. And I'm like, what are you doing? We just had a good day. What are you doing? And she's like, I'm breaking up with my boyfriend. I just realized today, I just need to focus on loving myself more. And he's making me feel like I'm not enough. And she was talking my lingo and Caitlin's lingo. And I'm winning. She literally just broke up with a 15-year-old boy to say, I need to work on loving myself more. I mean, as a parent, mom or dad, how could you be any more proud? I was so proud of her.
That is incredible. I love it. All right. So you mentioned affirmations. So can you tell the moms what you mean by affirmations and why those can be useful?
Let's go back and let's just understand 95% of your subconscious mind, or let me say that a different way. Your subconscious mind controls 95% of your daily activity. And it's pre-programmed with paradigms. And paradigms are habits, thoughts, and beliefs that reside in the subconscious mind. So 5% consciously says, I want to do something different. 95% goes back to anything that's been programmed into us about whatever's happening. And we behave through that filter.
That's kind of pathetic percentages.
It is. And if you look at the science of it, I call it the wimpy conscious mind. I mean, like the conscious mind, 5%, it can do two or three things at a time. The subconscious can do 1,000 things. Speed of thought, it's like 100 miles an hour versus thousands of miles an hour. I can't remember the exact things. An analogy, and listeners, you know, if you're driving or doing something else, don't do this. But Colleen, take your hands with me, and I think you've done this with Jack before. You take your hands and you clasp them together, and then you pay attention to which thumb's on top. And for me, it's always my right. Mm-hmm. Now, if I move one finger and try and put the opposite, what's the first thing you want to do?
Yeah, move it back.
So we say, okay, I want to make all these changes in my life, or I want to make all these changes in my daughter's life or my son's life. I have to realize how hardwired and programmed. And then we have to say, you know, the programming that runs us, our belief on money, time, relationships, sexuality, work ethic. The newborn baby didn't have any of those. They were programmed in two ways, spaced repetition of thought or emotional events. You know, for me, my aha was at 41 years old. I've been living my whole life with stuff that's not true for me and it's not mine. So to me, the power of the I am statement is taking conscious control with my wimpy conscious mind and saying, Sean, you were told you're not enough. And I use the law of polarity. I look for the polar opposite. You know, if I'm trying to pull scarcity out of me, I go to abundance. Lack of love, I go to confidence and love. And I don't want to go too woo and deep, but the laws of the universe, everybody understands gravity. We don't get on tall buildings without guardrails, because if we fall off, we're going to be very seriously injured or die.
Right.
The law of attraction and vibration work together to push things away from or pull them towards us. The law of polarity states there's no inside my office without an outside. There's no heaven without hell. There's no love without hate. So to me, the powerful I am statement is taking a lacking belief, a self-limiting belief, finding the polar opposite and affirming that by the power of auto-suggestion into my powerful mind. And my best example, if I showed you a picture of my mom, Colleen, you'd be like, oh my gosh, she's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. If that woman would believe she was ugly or she wasn't enough, human beings will believe anything. So your mind will believe whatever you tell it, and it believed what other people told it. So the power of the affirmation, the I am, is I get to decide each day what I want my subconscious to believe. And once I am it and affirm it enough, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, that it becomes a new belief, then it's automatic. It's been said that habit is God's way of making good automatic. Well, I pick, for me, an abundant thought is a lot better for me than a scarcity thought.
Yeah.
An anxiety thought versus a power thought. So I'm always looking, and I'm very specific. The definition of affirmation is say something positive, present tense, as if it's already done, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of people making them too wordy. And for me, my subconscious mind likes it simple and to the point. And I happen to have it because I've been studying a lot. There's a book called The Moses Code by James Twyman. I was directed to this by Wayne Dyer. So I listened to a lot of Wayne Dyer, and Wayne has an I am meditation that has a lot of this information. But in this book, James takes a deep dive in when Moses got the statement from God, I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever your religious belief, just take this for what it is. That when presented to Moses and in the Bible is the name of God. And whatever you put in the place of that, you're powerfully programming your subconscious mind. So my daily affirmations, you know, I am enough. I am. I'm using one of the most powerful direct auto-suggestion statements known to man to program that into my powerful subconscious mind. And once I get it there, it's going to control 95% of my day. And I try and oversimplify this. And some people say, well, Sean, that sounds too easy. It is, but the problem you're going to have is if you're doubting yourself, if you don't think you're beautiful, and you look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, and you feel funny, and you stop saying it, you just lost. Mm-hmm. The reason it feels uncomfortable is you don't believe it, and you have to say it until you do believe it. And once you do believe it, the transformation that I see inside and outside of people by reprogramming better, you know, instead of limiting or lacking beliefs, powerful, supporting beliefs, it's a physical transformation. I mean, I have people that get on my calls and we get on for years. You can't even recognize them. In fact, my social media, I posted a picture of me back close to my rock bottom in 2014 and the picture of me getting out of my car at my wedding. And I don't recognize either of the guys. The new guy, I still have to work on. This is really me. Because I still have some of the old guy's image in me, but the old guy, I'm like, who is that?
Wow.
Like, who is that guy? Like, who is that guy? Yeah. And even Caitlin, but from the time she met me to today, he looks completely different. Completely different. Energetically, even somewhat physically. And neither one of us, you know, cosmetic surgery, I think, is powerful if somebody has something that's really bothering them. But mm-hmm. if you don't do the work on the inside, the cosmetic surgery won't do anything. Kind of rabbit hole, but a really good book on that is Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz, who was a plastic surgeon, psychiatric work, because he realized that when he did the fix on the outside, it didn't always fix the internal image. So the I am statements, going back to that, we're literally creating a new image from the inside out.
So like you said, you just keep saying them. Like, is it like you say them once a day, more than that? What would you suggest?
So bare minimum, once a day. And I work with people on creating rituals. Like anybody that works with any of my mindset programs, which I've got a new program that I just developed. I released it in January. It's called Inner Blueprint, Remodel Your Mind for Success. And it's about pulling the self-limiting beliefs out of it. But I create a ritual where every day you say your goal, and it's a big one. It's one that you don't believe in yet. So you reach for the big goal. I help you craft powerful I ams that are the polar opposite of your I'm nots. The goal statement takes less than a minute. The I ams take a couple minutes. And then I have you do gratitude, which takes a couple minutes. And I have you listen to a positive message. Less than 15 minutes a day. If you do that for 6 months, and my programs are 6 months long because I want to create the space, repetition of thought to make an actual difference. Because we can go to 1 day events or 2 day events and get hyped up. And then we go back. And just like our hands like to go back to the original form, so do our habits and our behaviors. So that's the power of the I am to me is figure out. And then for me, if I'm getting my day and I'm getting challenging, I say my big goal statement and I say my affirmations. You know, before this call, I did some affirmation work. I've done two group coaching calls today that I get paid to bring good energy to the call. And so I have to make sure I'm at the highest vibration, one of the laws. And so before every call, I shout my goal out, pop my lungs. Caitlin loves it. She's in the other room and she can hear me in my office shouting my goals, shouting my affirmations to get myself. And so I use it once a day for maintenance, and I use it multiple times a day when I get you know, when your daughter, when your teen daughter is coming home and having the teenage drama, and as a mom, you're ready to freak out, you go in the other room, you close the door, best mother in the world. I am powerful. I am strong. I'm empathetic. I'm sympathetic. I auto-suggest in that moment, and then I step into the room, and I respond instead of react.
So what you're implying here, and I just want to say this out loud, obviously, is we need to, as parents, to take responsibility for our thoughts, for our energy. Like, that's probably one of the best things we could do for our kids.
Yes. I spend a lot of time talking about the knowing-doing gap. And if you think about it, I'll just use health and wellness. Everybody on planet Earth, and especially in North America, knows how to stay healthy. Fresh fruits, vegetables, don't eat processed food, drink plenty of water, move a little bit. We have a huge gap between what we know and what we do. And if you start taking inventory, it can be overwhelming. This is why most people don't change. So I spend a lot of time getting people to understand what we think about comes about. And the most important knowing-doing gap I can close for any human being I come in contact is be the guardian of your thoughts. And in every moment, try and choose a more positive thought. Mm-hmm. And if I do that for myself first, then I'm able to do it. You know, I have kind of a mantra and a movement that I'm creating, and it's called Enjoy the Ride. And Enjoy the Ride is about moment to moment, all day, every day, being the guardian of my conscious mind to choose better thoughts every moment, better thought. And if I guard that one gap and close it, it's going to slowly close all the other ones over time. And again, I know it's easier said than done. That's why I do it every day, right? I mean, I have...
Yeah.
You know, and I will get a little vulnerable here. So my mom passed away in 2017 at 63 years old of her early onset Alzheimer's. And I was in the middle of divorce. I had short sold my home. I'd walked away from my family business. I was at rock bottom. I worked with people on the trifecta, better finances, better health and wellness, and better relationship. And if I rated myself 10 on those in 2014, I was probably a 1 or 2 out of 10 on all three. And because of circumstance, I was living in my parents' basement and my mom was upstairs. Slowly, and actually ended up being fairly quickly from 57 to 63. We had about 6 years with her with Alzheimer's, but I would be making calls at 7 a.m. in the basement office, and I could hear her fighting with my dad upstairs in their bedroom because she didn't recognize him. And she still recognized me, so I would go upstairs and I would get her calmed down. This is where Enjoy the Ride was born for me, Colleen. I thought, I mean, I was depressed. I was, my personal life was in shambles, and now my mom's dying on top of it. And I thought, you know what? And I just had that come to me, enjoy the ride, Sean, enjoy the ride. And I, how do I enjoy this ride? In times of stress, anxiety, negative emotion, we have to find a way to pick a positive. And the human mind can only think positive or negative. And I didn't want to get caught in negativity because I knew it would just continue to tear me down. So in that moment, I made a conscious decision that I was going to be grateful. Grateful that because of divorce, I was single and living in their basement. And if I'd been married, my kid's mom wouldn't let me go live with my mom and take care of her. She'd be like, you have responsibility. I had no responsibilities at the house. I had the kids every other weekend. And so I just went to gratitude. I'm so grateful that I'm here to calm her down. I'm so grateful that I can be here. I mean, I ended up literally feeding and bathing my mom towards the end. My stepdad got sick, and I ended up at one point, Colleen, taking my mom to the ER because she'd fallen down, getting back home to find my dad stuck in a bathtub naked, and he couldn't get up. And these are 60-year-olds. Both their parents lived to be 80 years old, and I could have gone to God, why me? And I just went, you know what? They're a mess. I'm so grateful I'm here. I'm so grateful I'm here. And to this day, when I think back, I'm so grateful for the time I got. I mean, I literally got almost a year of every single day being in the house with my mom. I mean, I have some beautiful videos on my phone where I interviewed her and said, Mom, what does it feel like to have Alzheimer's? And I got to hear her perspective from her Alzheimer's mind of what it actually felt like, and how frustrating it was to not be able to remember things, not know who this man was that was in her room. Mom's dad. Oh, I know, but no, it's not. I mean, it was just in that moment, there's not many moments in my life that I can't pick a better feeling emotion.
Okay. Any last advice for the moms?
Best advice I could give anybody I ever come in contact to is two things. Love yourself and trust yourself. And the more you love yourself and trust yourself, the more you can do everything and anything we're talking about, honestly. You know, we second guess ourselves all day. Am I a good mom? Should I have punished him for this? Should I have given him that money? Trust yourself. Look, you're a good mom. You're doing the best you can. And that's the other thing too. I go back in my life, and in every moment, people that hurt me, men and women, I try and take the higher perspective. They did the best they could in that moment with their self-limiting beliefs, with their lacking. You know, hurt people. And if somebody hurt me, it's only because they were hurting. I'm not perfect. I'm speaking from lots of lessons and lots of learning of this, but You know, in every moment, you just have to trust yourself and love yourself. And that gets beaten out of us by mistakes. You know, I can go back and tell you all the things I should have done differently in my first marriage, in my first business, in my first and third and second and fourth real estate deals. But I did the best I could in every moment. And when I made a bad decision, law of cause and effect, I paid the price and I learned from it. And so today I show up every day trying to love myself and trust myself. And the more I do it, the more confidence I get. And I still make mistakes, and I still have to apologize to my kids, and I still have to apologize to Caitlin. But as long as I'm loving myself and trusting myself, I think that's the most, start studying your mind. Like, our minds are the most powerful gift God gave us, and he gave us free will to use those. If, you know, Jim Rohn used to say, you're not a tree if you don't like where you're planted, move. And literally, if you're in a situation that's not serving you, physically move in your mind, think of some different thoughts and move it around. But if you understand, you know, and if you want, Colleen, I'll share with you. I have this beautiful song that's called Thoughts Become Things. And the words in it, it's like, remember back when you were young and you thought you could do anything. That got programmed out of you. You still can do anything. So just understanding the power of thought. The power of thought, imagination is creation. And I can create anything in my mind. And if I can create it in my mind, I can eventually hold it in my hand. And I love what I do because I'm living proof, Colleen. We didn't get time to talk about it, but I wrote this letter in 2014, 2 pages. Mm. I was rock bottom. Every word in this is complete BS. Talks about my great mind, my health. None of it was true. This is from today, you guys. This is real world. Every morning you get to choose who you are. And I decide every morning who I'm going to be. And I'm going to be a little bit better than I was yesterday. And as long as I hold space in that arena, I'm going to have a beautiful life.
So how can moms get in touch with you?
Okay.
Or follow you?
You have time for one more little nugget. I want to drop one more little nugget.
Okay, one more nugget.
Everyone talks about an attitude of gratitude, and we all know how important it is. And in mindset, I say, we're either trying or we're doing or it's done. You need to get to done with gratitude. If you get to done with gratitude, and I have a tool that I've used, go to Google right now and type in Brother David, a grateful day. And you're going to pull up a 5-minute meditation. And I've been listening to this every day for 5 years. I listened to it this morning with my daughter on the way to high school. And Brother David, he's got an Austrian accent. This is the premise. If you woke up today and it was your first day in your life, no matter how challenging your life is, if yesterday you were homeless or you're in a third world country where you don't have drinkable water or shelter, and you woke up where you are today, you would appreciate everything about us. So I wake up every morning, and I can go back to 2014 when I was living in my parents' basement. And if I went from there to wake up in this beautiful home with this beautiful wife, with this, I would never complain about anything. So that's the premise. And then in the space that you create with that pillar, what if it was my only day, my first day and my only day? Mm. And he talks about in this meditation that we would appreciate, we can see color. God gave us color as a gift. There's no need for color. It's a gift. Mm. The air, the sky. And again, it sounds cheesy, but I've listened to that 5 minutes every day. Mm. I don't try to be grateful. I'm not in the process of being grateful. I am grateful. And I did it by spaced repetition of thought, listening to that meditation. So wherever you are right now, you might not be in your dream home. You're in somebody's dream home. You might not be in your dream relationship. You're in somebody's dream relationship. Might not be driving your dream car. Somebody who doesn't have one, you're driving their dream car. And if we get to gratitude at that level, then we're going to attract even more of what we want. And I'm grateful for what I have. I'm also grateful for what's coming. That's the cool thing about mindset. I can be grateful for this house. I can be grateful for my beach house. I can be grateful for anything today. If I bring gratitude to the day, let's go, Colleen, right? You get it. Let's go.
I love it. Right.
That's it. That's how we do gratitude.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. And what a treat. My day is way better after talking to you.
Well, if today's my last day, then I did my job today because I want to leave an impression of increase in every interaction. If you want to talk to me, if you want to get a hold of me, I do strategy calls. And if you say, well, how does a guy get to run in a women's group? That's kind of interesting, but I work with a lot of contractors who, as they did mindset, a lot of them had their wives in the business. And I started a women's group with their wives and has now grown. I have my youngest in the class is a 19-year-old college student who had a lot of trauma from a boating accident. She wouldn't fly. She's now flying. In fact, she's coming from Nashville to Salt Lake City this weekend, and we're going to go skiing with her and her dad, who's a client. So I've got a 20-year-old and I've got a 70-year-old. I've got moms, I've got professionals, I've got nurse practitioners, I've got CFOs of company. This is a powerful women's group. I am just a facilitator that helps with the material It's a 6-month program initially. I have women that have been on the call for a couple of years. So if that sounds like a group that you might want to be a part of, or you might want to get some information, my website is seanfeuer.com, SHAWNFEURER.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. There's not any other Sean Foyers. I have a very unique last name, so you're not going to find a bunch of me. It's just Sean Foyer. I have a lot of free content. Me and Caitlin do a lot of content around the I am statements, around gratitude, around. So if you're in a position where you're like, I don't know if I could invest money into myself for this program right now, I have a bunch of free stuff. And so follow me. I mean, the one thing I ask is my message is impactful. Please share it. My worthy goal, my inner blueprint is to help millions of people worldwide remove self-limiting beliefs, the chains that hold them back, so they may live their life in freedom, abundance, fun, and love. And if you can help me on that by sharing my information, I would be forever grateful.
Yes, and I will definitely share it myself.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me on. When I met you and you said I have a podcast for teen daughters, I'm like, oh my gosh, and for moms. I said, I have two teen daughters now. I have two adult twin daughters. And this world is tough. And my poor twin girls, they've been through a lot, through divorce, through some of the challenges. And I'm their dad, so they don't listen to me as much as some other girls do in my life. But that doesn't slow me down. I'm all about sharing. And like you said, we have so many lacking beliefs. Let's get some positive affirming beliefs. And let's start with ourselves, and then we can impress them upon our kids. And even you moms, if there's a dad in your life that's a challenge, we can't change him. But Wayne Dyer says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And I've seen improvements in marriages. I've seen improvements with divorces that, I had a challenging relationship with my ex. So does Caitlin. It doesn't affect how we show up as parents now because we've changed the way we look at things. So anyway, I'm rambling, but that's how you get a hold of me. Love sharing positive energy. And I love this podcast. Keep doing what you do, Colleen. The world's a better place because of you and your message. And I appreciate you taking time out of your day to host it, produce it, and to share it with the world. So thank you.
It's been fantastic. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you.
This concludes this week's episode of Power Your Parenting, Moms with Teens podcast. If this podcast has been helpful, I would absolutely love it if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. This makes it easier for other moms like you to find the support and encouragement they need. Also, my award-winning best-selling books, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict, Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, and my newest release book, Dial Up the Dream, Making Your Daughter's Journey to Adulthood the Best for Both of You. You can find both of these books wherever books are sold. And you can find other great resources and contact me at ColleenO'Grady.com. And that has 2 L's and 2 E's.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.